Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
I'm Barry Rosenfeld. We have the Bravo news for you.
I was like, are we going to get a name? It's Barry.
Yeah, it's me.
So things seem to be not getting better between Lala and Randall, I have to say.
Can I just say that every time we talk about something or we record, then the news breaks, and we were ahead of the fucking game yesterday.
we were. Obviously, we were like going through some of the evidence, all of the facts. And then after that, like Page Six reported that Lala dumped Randall. Neither of them have commented on it yet, but there's like sources saying that they're not together. I'm really curious. Lala has a book signing tomorrow in LA, and she's been like actively posting about it in the last 24 hours. And so like, she's going to do this book signing and it's going to be awkward. Like people are they just like not going to let people speak to her? Because I have to imagine it's going to be a weird vibe.
I feel like Lala's the type of person who is, of course, now whatever is going on in her life, like her book, well, besides From Ocean, but her book is her priority right now. So she's like, fuck that. I'll deal with it later. Like, this is what I want to do for my fans. And you know, people, if they're respectful, are not going to like ask, because she's not going to like tell a random stranger, oh, yes, you know what? I've been meaning to tell you about my breakup. So I think she's going to like acknowledge it with a smile.
That's the problem. You're saying if people are respectful, and I think most people would be respectful.
Yeah.
But if she's advertising, hey, I'm going to be sitting at a table for 2 hours at a Barnes & Noble in the Grove, there's nothing to stop somebody who's not feeling respectful and who wants their 15 minutes of, you know, viral TikTok or whatever, of like, you know, you buy a copy of the book and then you get your 30 seconds with Lala. I will say it's funny to me that she's doing a book signing like 6 months after the book came out. I guess it makes sense because she's like talking about it on the show, but it's like, I mean, it's the book's been out.
Yeah, it's usually to promote the book, right? But, you know, everyone's on their own timeline. It's fine.
I did see a few people saying like when you were posting about their potential breakup, like some people were saying they thought it was like a publicity stunt for Vanderpump Rules. They're like, the new season's getting bad ratings, or like they need drama. And it's like, okay, but that season is already filmed. Like them breaking up now, like they're not filming right now. They wouldn't, assuming they stick to their normal schedule, they wouldn't start filming for like 7 months. So it's like them breaking up now doesn't really do anything in regards to the show. I will say there were a couple moments on tonight's episode where Lala's talking about Sheena's relationship. And I'm a little bit like,
No. In that moment, we're obviously going to get to it, but like she said something about her own relationship. And I was like, oh my God, that's kind of like very bizarre timing.
When she was talking to Sheena, we can just get into it. Cause this was like a through line of the episode.
We just can't.
Well, she was talking to Katie and she's like, well, you know, the dynamic changes once there's a baby. So like, I wouldn't want Sheena to be like, oh, well, he would never do that to me. And then he would. And then later when she's talking to Sheena, she's like,
you know, like your man had kids before and then he left. And like, you know, my man, like, I don't think he would do that to me. And it's like,
her words, I wrote this down because I was like, wait, she said, I wouldn't put it past him. And I was like, that is not okay to say about your fiance, husband, fiance, whatever. But like,
father of your child,
this is not someone that you're like playing around with in high school or college. Like, this is someone who you are literally getting married to. You wouldn't put it past him. Like, what? That's not always normal.
It's always crazy to me, people who are in this world of like, I like the word that comes to mind is Hollywood, but it's not just that. It's like this whole world of like, oh yeah, like, you know, sometimes men cheat, you never know what's going to happen. And it's like, you've been engaged to this guy for 3 years. You live with him. You have a baby together. Like, if I were at that point in a relationship, I would want to feel 100% confident, yes, that it was like locked down. And I'm just, be. Okay. So, you know, I'm watching Real Housewives of Miami. I just got to season 2. And like, so in season 1, Marisol gets married to this guy, Philippe. And she's like, literally like, while they're getting married, she's like, yeah, you know, like for right now, it's good. Like, we'll see, you know, it's my second marriage. Like, you know, maybe there'll be a third one sometime. Like, she's literally talking like that. And then season 2 starts and they're already separated. And it's like, I just can't imagine like floating through like serious relationships like that, but I don't know. Maybe.
Well, okay. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not for, yes, whatever. So Lala and Randall, obviously when their relationship started, everyone was questioning it, like, what the fuck? But money is obviously a big thing in people's eyes. Like, it's your set, mm-hmm, you feel. So when I see cheating rumors in my head, I'm like, Randall, like, these people only want you for your money. Like, not in a mean way, but like, come on.
Randall's money situation has always been like a little confusing, just because like, yeah, he is like a successful producer, but also if you look at like some of his movies, it's like,
I agree, but he's a producer in Hollywood, like
straight to streaming, got bad reviews. Like, you know, for every The Irishman, there's like Midnight in the Switchgrass with Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly that they wouldn't even promote because they said it was so bad. So like, I don't know. I mean, like, whatever. We'll see. We'll see how it unfolds. But let's get back to the episode at hand. So we're on the aftermath of Rachella, which, of course, lovely, love their engagement.
Yeah.
James Sandoval tells Schwartz that he and James spent $25,000 on this event, and they're splitting the money, which obviously is incredibly generous of Tom Sandoval, but also I think
incredibly stupid.
And honestly, okay, I think it is especially stupid given the financial situation they're in, trying to get this business venture going with the new bar. But I think it's stupid anyway. It's like, it's great to help your friend plan the engagement, but like,
it's not your engagement.
I'm not spending $12,000. I mean, like, I literally couldn't right now, but like, I'm not putting myself in a poor position, literally, I guess, to like, so that you can have like an over the top engagement. Like, that's not, I'll help you with the logistics, but like, I'm not paying for that.
Sandoval thinks he like actually is George Clooney. Remember George Clooney like years gave each of his friends like $1 million. Like, Sandoval's not at that position yet where he like thinks he is. Right. And of course that is extremely generous, and it's something he wants to do. Like, he loves helping people. But on the flip side, yes, he is in the middle of opening a bar that they already can't afford.
Like, sorry, if you're taking out a home equity loan, it's like, then where is that money coming from?
He's like, but we're taking out a home equity loan.
He didn't explain if he like cleared it with Ariana. I don't know what their like agreement is in terms of how they share money, but like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. And also James loves him so much. He's like, I know Sandoval has Schwartz, but like Sandoval's my best friend. And I was like, oh, James, that's cute.
I want to know what your thoughts are on the Tiffany ring versus the Tiffany diamond in a ring that James got somewhere else. So I think the actual situation is that James bought like a loose diamond from Tiffany and then like had the ring made at a random jewelry store. So like, does he need to be like honest with Raquel about that, or is it not a big deal?
It's not a big deal at all. It doesn't matter. The ring is gorgeous. That's not the big deal. The big deal is like, stop lying. Just tell her. Most people, everyone I know, actually not most people, knows where their ring comes from. So like, if you're going in again, if you're going into this relationship, you're starting the engagement on a lie. Like you just be honest. There's no reason to not. I do agree with the fact that after like the first day, she probably shouldn't wear that ring to work. Not because it's flashy, but because
to
work at a restaurant, like you wash your hands, it gets lost, you bang it. Like you just shouldn't wear it to work in general. But
when I was working retail, I wore an Apple Watch every day. And one day, I mean, obviously an Apple Watch is not a diamond ring, but you know,
to some people it is. Yeah.
Thing that you wear that is not inexpensive. I smashed it on a fucking door handle. The screen, it was like shattered. Mm. Like I can't use it anymore. And so it's like, even with that, I'm like, oh, like, I guess I should, whatever.
It is funny to see guys watch the ring because they spend so much time. So he was getting himself worked up like at dinner in the car. And he was like, no, you can't wear that. And I was like, I get Raquel's like, why? It's so beautiful.
That was a little much. It is funny that, like, I feel like most people, like you were saying, most people know where their ring comes from. And in the majority of cases, it's not from, like, Tiffany or Cartier or some brand like that. It's like you go to, like, a jewelry store or, like, you have, like, a jeweler that you work with or something.
That's what most
like,
princesses get it from, Tiffany & Co., oh, as Raquel
yeah,
says.
That's true.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Okay, so I want your opinion on this. Why Ariana wants an engagement only if the engagement is over the top?
Is Raquel level? I think Ariana over the years has done a great job of being open about what she wants and what she doesn't want and not giving in to like the traditional thing just because people tell her that it's what she should want. In this situation, I'm like, you can't be giving Tom mixed signals about this because I feel like Tom I don't think Ariana has done anything wrong in the past, but I think Tom has made sacrifices in terms of what his fantasy scenario would be, you know, probably not having kids, not getting married. Like, those are things that Tom Sandoval envisioned for himself. So it's like, Ariana, if you're serious about not wanting to get married, then don't be going on TV and giving Tom like a mixed signal.
Also, Ariana, do you know Tom Sandoval? It wouldn't be anything other than over the top.
He's not going to propose to her like quietly on the beach.
To me, it's a little shallow. I mean, I love Ariana, but it's a little shallow only because Tom is madly in love with her. So he'd want to marry her regardless, but you only want to be engaged. Like,
I don't think she was really like,
I know, but we've never heard her talk about an inkling of wanting to be engaged. So her to say that, I don't know. It was just very weird to me.
Okay. So I did, in this episode, we see Katie and Tom Schwartz, talking more about their fertility journey and trying to get pregnant. And, you know, Katie says that they basically were trying for like a solid 5 months in like summer of 2020 when all the other women were getting pregnant.
Yeah.
And so now they kind of have taken a break from that, but they're like going to see this fertility specialist to sort of kick things off again and try and get, you know, more information so they can hopefully try successfully. And I don't understand why Tom Sandoval is involved in this at all. This was weird to me. I didn't enjoy watching Tom bring like lube over to Schwartz's house.
Well, again, does nothing that is not over the top, but he also, quick note about that, the fact that Lisa Vanderpump was like, well, why would you go to a fertility doctor if you haven't even tried yet? And Katie's like, we did. Like, what?
I made a note about that. It was so weird to me why Lisa was like assuming that Katie had like never thought about getting pregnant before. It's like, and Katie's like, well, I mean, we have tried.
Yeah.
Lisa. Actually, yes, I'm not like an idiot.
Yeah. So this scene with Tom and Tom just was old school to me. Like, you know, the two of them with their little skits, like it was cute and funny.
Yeah, I mean, it was very staged.
Yes. But at the same time, like very thought out. And I love when he was like, the Gwyneth Paltrow candle, that's a rental though. You got to give that back. And like, I just didn't like the fact that he waited outside the door. Like he could have been watching TV or.
No, he's like looking up the stairs. Like, come on.
But he's a good friend in that sense. I don't know. I think he wants for other people what he can't have, to be honest. Like what you just said earlier, like they're not planning on having children. Like they're not getting engaged. So we see this Tom like playing these roles of what he wants.
Yeah. And meanwhile, Katie is with Lala. And I think Lala sharing the information about Brock's kids with Katie is like a little bit messy. You know, like I think Lala's concerns are totally valid. We talked about this last week. It does seem like some red flags with Brock. And so I think like her talking to Sheena about it this episode, I thought was like a good friend move, mm-hmm. but her talking to Katie about it, I'm a little bit like, it's not your business. You don't have all the details yet. Like,
I
let's
agree.
Hold off.
And it's funny because I actually like Katie and Lala's friendship this season. Like
I
really do. So in that sense, it's like, you know, you talk to your friends about like BS too, about other people, but it's always different when there's cameras involved because it's someone's personal journey. And also I couldn't tell if Lala was kind of, I think she was very, 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 like we saw last week, shocked by this information. So I almost feel like she was getting someone else's opinion on this because she's like, am I overreacting? Is this weird?
I think, a little bit. And I guess being outside of the situation and watching, it's like, obviously, like, it's on the show now. We can talk to whoever about it. It's like public information. But like, I do get that if you were Lala in that situation and you didn't, and like no one else in the group knew, that you would kind of be like, am I like crazy for thinking that this is like very strange and whatever. So yeah, I mean, you're right in that sense. And then I actually liked the scene with Sheena and Lala this episode, because I like seeing that they seem to be like actually productively worked through their issues and like getting along again. And it doesn't feel weird that they're like meeting up to shop for baby clothes. But Sheena is given the chance to sort of explain more of why Brock has not seen his kids in 4 years. And I wouldn't say that she really convinced me that it was a great situation any more than last week.
Right. And that's what I said last week when we first, cause I was like, maybe he was leaving for a better, you know, life. But I was like, no, I mean, no, something's missing.
The way they talk about him going from Australia to California or wherever, which this would have been in like 2017 or 2016, like around that time. Australia is not a third world country where there's nothing going on and there's no opportunities and you can't make money there.
I'm dying. They literally made it seem like he was Jack and Titanic and he won a ticket to get on the boat and like came.
Right. Like they're making it sound like he's like a pilgrim coming to the new world to like make a better life. And like, I don't know like what his specific like deal is. Like, it's a little hard for me to get a handle on that, but like they're making it sound like his choice was either like prosperity in the US or like living in like in poverty in Australia. And it's like, I don't think that doesn't actually like quite add up to me. So I would like a little bit more information on why it was so important for him to leave Australia. Cause to me, that's the thing. Like when she's saying, oh, and like the mother of the kids didn't support that and she didn't want him to leave, it's like, yeah, like I wouldn't want the father of my kids to move 8,000 miles away either. Like that seems actually kind of normal to me.
Yeah. And she was like, he drinks out of coffee mug with their faces. He's like, they're his background. Like if you, and I, the part I questioned was when she was like, if he wanted to go, he could, what is holding him back? Like, why can't he go?
Right. Back? Like, I understand. Okay, the thing is, like, traveling between Australia and the United States is extremely expensive, time-consuming, hassle with kids. So, like, Sheena's saying that the mom cut off contact, and, like, yes, obviously they could be FaceTiming, whatever, but it's, like, I don't think it's on the mom to be, like, flying those kids to California to see their dad. So it's, like, why doesn't Brock book a plane ticket to Australia and, like, go see the kids? Like, even if the line of communication isn't great, it's like, go see your fucking kids. I don't know. Like, there's clearly going to be some more information next week, like from Brock's, maybe like a little bit more backstory on what actually happened. But right now, I still don't feel good about it.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, it is weird because that is a situation where it's like, we literally don't know. And it's not like we can be like, go be a good dad, go see your kids. Like, we have no fucking idea what the situation is. And that, so that's a little hard, but I did like the advice Lala was giving from the information she has. And she was like, as my friend, I just don't want, if he's done it before, what's to say he won't just leave Summer Moon and be like,
bye. Her interaction with Sheena feels more, it feels genuinely supportive and not just like she's trying to be like messy or like drag her. Right. And so I appreciate that because I think, you know, they've had issues in the recent past. So it could feel a little bit like Lala's trying to like ruin Sheena's happiness. And it feels like she actually is looking out for her, which I like.
I did feel bad though, because it looked like throughout the entire conversation, Sheena was holding back tears. And I was like, let it out.
But that's the thing is like, we've seen Sheena go down the road where she is like, so committed to protect, to acting like everything is perfect. And like, I don't think her relationship with Brock, at least right now, is in that like dark of a place. Like, things do seem like they are pretty good currently, but like, that's what worries me, is that like Sheena wouldn't acknowledge if things did get to a bad place. And like, I think she needs to be I think Lala is right. She needs to be careful and she needs to be really like honest with herself if things were to not be going well, because like she has a daughter that she needs to be, you know, acting in her best interest. Also, like when Lala is saying Summer Moon, I'm like, are we doing that? Like, can we just call her Summer?
Yeah, like what is her, is her name Summer Moon or is it Summer and her middle name is Moon?
Well, it's Summer Moon Honey. Right. Summer Moon Honey Davies.
Right.
So
right.
Maybe Summer Moon is the first name. Oh God.
There's no hyphen. Okay. So it's confusing.
But maybe it's like a Southern name, like Summer Moon.
Like Kimberly Mary Sue. Yeah.
Kimberly Sue. Oh my God. Okay. So let's talk about Raquel and James going to lunch with
Raquel's my fiance.
They're with various members of both of their families. It's a little unclear who all was invited to this lunch, but James's mom is there. Raquel's sister is there. And Raquel's sister is sort of like the main player in this lunch because she clearly has some reservations about James. You know, Raquel says that they've known James for like 4 years, so they've seen him in his like messy drunk James era. And then now they're kind of still skeptical about him really being better. And this whole thing with Max is not helping because Raquel's sister is like, see, you can get into trouble even when you don't drink. And she's not wrong.
She's not wrong. And they were like, who in your family, Raquel, dislikes James the most and won't care what you say or ask? So she made a good point, though, because Raquel is, I wouldn't consider Raquel a pushover because she has shown us that like she really does stand up for herself, whatever. But we don't know like what she would do for James necessarily. So her sister made a good point when she was like, well, why did you bring the gift? And also, I just don't want to see you going along always and fixing James's problems. And even Raquel right there was like, I'm not fixing his problems. I think she just brought him the gift because she was working a shift and James like,
I know. I think that's kind of the weird dynamic is that like, obviously there is, you know, the thing of like, they're in a relationship, their actions affect each other. You know, people see them as a package deal, but also like, Raquel actively works at Sur still. Like right. She works there even when they're not filming. Like she, more than anyone else, I guess Charlie also, but like she works at Sur. And so like there is that thing of like, if James is on bad terms with the Vanderpump family, then it doesn't reflect well on Raquel. And I think that's valid. I mean, I think maybe her sister, what's her name? I can't remember.
Kate.
But it's like, maybe she's being like a little bit, you know, overly like harsh on James. But at the same time, it's like, can you stop? Like, why are you calling him like a fat twat or whatever? Like get it together. That's not like, that's not like acceptable behavior.
Typical James though. He was like, well, I am blocked on everything. Like, so I can't even if I wanted. And I was like, please, like, yes, you can.
Yeah. I feel like
it was thoughtful like though.
Yeah. I mean, the gift was nice. Like, everybody loves virtual reality. I always feel like it's like a little bit like you're not trying that hard and you're like, well, like, I don't even know how to get in contact with him. It's like, ask the producers to set it up. I don't know. Like,
yeah, but I feel like it was nice to see James' mom and his brothers, by the way, we haven't seen them in so long, but
yeah,
his mom, they're both sober now. And like, I don't know. It was very weird. She was like, yeah, yeah. And she was like loving everything James was doing and Raquel. And like, she
Jacqueline
was not
Giorgio.
Helping like the situation. She was like, yeah, right, that like- was really sweet.
I like James and Raquel's dynamic when they're good, but like James definitely has that quality about him where like he kind of gets an idea in his head and it's like, just chill out. Like when he was talking about the ring in the car, it's like, it feels like you're like hounding her about this thing and like she's not doing anything. Like she's not,
yeah,
she didn't like lose the ring, she's just wearing it. Like chill. So yeah, I hope James can kind of like rein it in a little bit.
I just can't wait for this wedding because it's going to be an episode of some sort. And I just want it to.
I feel like they'll probably get married like on next season. Like they'll probably get married like next June or something.
I hope you're right.
We'll see. We'll see. We'll see. Okay. So the last big moment of the episode is at Tom Tom, which is reopened now. Lisa's there. The Toms are there. Katie and Ariana are there. And this is when, you know, Katie and Lisa were having their conversation, their like weird conversation about trying to have a baby.
She asked Ariana to go tell Tom to change the music a little. AKA, can you leave so me and Katie can talk?
Yeah, it's like, so the producers have told me that Katie and I need to have a one-on-one. So can you do this like random fake task? Yeah, I'm like, random. Change it to what? Like, is it like too loud? Like, are there like bad words in the lyrics?
Ariana's like, noted. I'll leave.
But so then the Toms are like ushered over to the table and Katie and Sandoval just get into it again because Lisa asks about this new bar. They're having trouble staffing. Like, oh, Katie's going to be doing something, right? And like, it just, Tom Sandoval, I don't get why he is like so triggered by the idea of Katie being involved.
Because he likes to be in charge and doesn't like anyone challenging him. And Tom Schwartz doesn't, like, and Katie does.
But like, he is in charge. Like, Katie's not saying, I'm going to come in and be in charge. She's saying like, I want to be involved.
It's like,
I like Tom Sandoval like as a person, but it's frustrating to me that he is like so reactive to like the idea of Katie being around. And it's like, then he brings up these texts that are from like 2 years ago, 5 years ago. He's like talking about when like he would be out with Sheena and Sheena would be getting rage texts from Katie. And even Ariana is like, wasn't that like 6 years ago? And he's like, yeah, but like, I just, and it's like, why are you talking about this right now?
They were like, we haven't gotten rage texts in so long. Like, that's a thing of the past. I was like, guys, she's sitting right here. Like, she's really grown. That they were making rage texts like a thing of the past. But he was, I think, like I've said this, I sound like a broken record. He just doesn't like Katie. And like, I think he's thinking of anything he could. And now they're kind of calling him out on it because he looks dumb.
Right. That it's like, if you have an issue with Katie in the present tense, work through it. But like, we're not bringing up texts that Katie sent to Sheena in 2014. Like, that's not what we're doing right now. It doesn't help anyone. It doesn't make sense.
And then it set Katie off earlier when Schwartz told Sandoval he was impressed with what he saw with the engagement planning, that he's letting him name the bar. And
that
I was like,
so weird.
What? It's
like,
so then he told Katie
like,
that.
That doesn't,
like,
have any, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's like, okay, so maybe then if you were having like an opening party, you would let Sandoval like take the lead on planning it, which I assume he would anyway. But it's like, why are you like gifting him with the ability to name the bar because he planned a good party? Like, it's so stupid. And like, apparently there was some interview, apparently they've officially decided that it is going to be Schwartz and Sandy's, which like,
they were on Watch What Happens Live a few weeks ago, Tom like said, he was like, yeah, Schwartz, Sandy's. And I think at that point, at that episode, still Andy, they didn't know if he was kidding or not. He like, no one was taking him seriously unless it's like in print.
Whatever. I don't see why it would be like less successful than Tom Tom. People that want to see them are going to go to their bar. So like,
right.
Whatever. I still think it's a stupid name, but it's not my bar.
Is Nick Elaine designing it?
I don't know if Tom and Tom can afford Nick Elaine on their own. So
oh, yeah.
I feel like that's
Lisa's like not involved.
Maybe Lisa will get them a friends and family discount for Nick Elaine.
Oh, that would be sweet.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students? It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, let's talk about Below Deck Med. We finished off the season with a finale reunion back-to-back. These Below Deck reunions, the virtual ones, where they're all, like, in their various locations around the world, like, they stress me out. Because
Malia was in her shower.
Malia's sitting in the shower, like, literally with charter guests on the boat. Lloyd's Wi-Fi looks like it's about to crap out any second, and then it actually does before the end of the reunion. Matt is wearing a tie-dye shirt, looking like he just rolled out of bed. I appreciate that they have the technology to make a reunion happen, but it's like, this is, I would love a little bit of a budget.
Correct. I know it's crazy because they are literally all over the world and on boats, so they can't just like send production like
right. It's not like with the virtual reunions for like Vanderpump or Beverly Hills where they like send a whole like TV setup to their house.
I certainly had time to look this up, but I just felt like asking who was it last reunion who got so drunk, like they were so drunk on the reunion. I just couldn't remember for the life of me, but
was Courtney, it Daisy?
It might have been, I think. But Courtney was getting so, she was like sliding down in her chair. She was like slurring her words. She was falling asleep. Like Andy at one point was like, I want whatever you're having. And she was like, I'm drinking water. And he was like, yeah, now.
But like Courtney was feeling herself. Or feeling something. I don't know. I was honestly like, I found the cast dynamic on this reunion very enjoyable. Like the first few minutes when they were kind of like laughing with each other and stuff, I'm like, this is like a fun group. Like,
well, cause I think they're actually friends. Like they're yeah, all no, friends.
Literally all of them on this season, besides Lexi and Delaney, like are actively friends with each other. And like, I'm not sure why some of them are friends with Chef Matthew. Like,
okay. I was going to say,
drop him a little bit. Like, I actually was surprised on the episode when he, because Courtney had said, I think before, that some of them were going to a house and split. And I'm like, okay, so it's going to be like most of them, but not Matthew. And then I'm like, oh, everybody's going.
To be honest, I think that they just, from what I say, I think he's the type of person they just like let tag along. He's annoying as fuck. And like, I wouldn't want him hanging out with me, especially if he's drunk. And so I think that's what happened. And he would be the last person I would want to know the secret of whatever happened in Split, because he's going to tell anyone.
The finale was like not that exciting, but I want to know. So Matt, after this like disastrous egg breakfast situation, for the rest of the day, he's very in his head, even though the food he makes comes out great. There's no more complaints, but he keeps asking Katie, who is like stressed beyond belief with her two stew situation. He keeps like asking her for like advice on the menu. And she's very like, I don't have time for this. I can't think about this right now. Like that, like figure it out. And like, I want to know, like, what did you think? Did you think that she was being like rude, or did you think that Matt was like needed to just get his shit together and decide?
I definitely thought a little bit of both. Like I said, I think he is annoying AF, but I think so. What we've seen in past seasons always, which I haven't seen this season, is the chief stew and chef discuss the menu beforehand.
Right.
So I don't know if they did do that, but it seems in this conversation that they didn't. And so in that case, he kind of is asking like, hey, what should I do? What should I do? His issue is he's asking at the most horrific time. He's asking during the meal.
Katie's like carrying things, like about to go do the laundry, like making drinks. And he's like, servanteur for just the salmon. And she's like, I don't fucking know.
Like, Dylan, they were like leaving for the beach picnic. He's like, should I make burgers too? And Melina's we're leaving. We need to go.
The beach picnic situation, to me, that was like ridiculous. It's like, you have 10 minutes. You're making what you're making. The dinner, I thought Katie could have been like a little more helpful, because I feel like that's the situation where you're like, okay, like you have been around the guests all day. Like you can sense the mood. Like, do you think we should do like more courses or less, you know, that kind of thing. But like, oh my God, the beach picnic. It's like, you have 3 minutes. You're not making burgers. Like get...
They were also like running back and forth. These beach picnics give me such like agita. I can't.
Oh my God.
Malia's like, bye, have fun. And she like sprints away. To be honest, this setup looked like the easiest they've ever done. Like maybe they just didn't show it. I don't know. They just like kind of just set it up. And then they're like running, breaking it down. They did that with two stews. Like that was wild. I did appreciate how much Katie acknowledged the fact that she was wrong and should have kept another stew.
I think that was kind of the saving grace for her.
Yeah.
These last two charters and at the reunion was that like, she fully acknowledged that like, I made this decision. Looking back, it wasn't the right decision, but it is what it is. And I'm not going to let it affect the quality of service. And I think like, even at the reunion, Sandy totally recognized that. And she was like, look, like you maybe didn't make the right decision, but you stepped up and made it work. And I think like, if it was a situation where she made that decision and then the last two charters were just like a disaster, Sandy would have had a lot more to say. And we wouldn't be like, as you know, we would be seeing Katie kind of in a different light, because it would be like, oh damn, like she really fucked up. But in this case, she was like the first one to admit. I didn't really know in the reunion when Delaney was there. Obviously, it's a little bit awkward just because like, you know, when Katie is saying like it was an issue with what we needed and you not being the right fit, not like with you being bad. And it's like, it's just awkward because she's sitting right there and like, it's never going to feel good to be like talked about like that. But like,
wait, but she had a great comeback. She's living in Hawaii and working on a day boat. And they're like, okay.
Happy for her. She's doing great. But it's like, I didn't know, like, because Katie was kind of like, well, I don't regret letting Delaney go because she wasn't what we needed. And it's like, okay, well, she was the only choice. So like, if you made the wrong decision, then what would have been the right decision?
And she still would have been helping. Like she still would have been doing the laundry. Like that's something Courtney like would have been doing something else if Delaney was there. Like, so I just didn't
exactly.
Like,
I think that was kind of the thing for me. It's like, obviously Delaney wasn't going to be like leading your dinner service, but like she wasn't completely unhelpful in the time that she was there.
Right.
I was so mad that Lexi didn't show up. I wasn't surprised, but like,
I mean, what help would she have like done to this reunion? She didn't speak to them when she was on the boat.
It would have been so much more chaotic.
Awkward. Yeah.
And like,
Matt, they wouldn't have gotten a word in edgewise. No way.
Right. I mean, there would have been so much more like drama, but like in some sense, I feel like it was like, for the best that she wasn't there. But then also I'm just like, no, like I want everybody to show up to the reunion and like talk their shit. And she would have been like, yeah, I'm joining from my $8,000 a month condo in Miami on a high rise.
Wait, hold on. I want to talk about Lexi after, but the fact, because of everything they said about her, but the fact that I was really happy that Lloyd got the crossing job, because
I know
he very much deserves it. And we're happy that usually they bring on like, you know, each person is like, they call them in one by one and they like each get the job. I don't know. Maybe this one, they just needed like one and it was Lloyd, but it's like usually like the whole cast, whatever. But this was very bizarre when they were all going out for dinner and then like the they like let
so weird.
They like let the substitute chef, the backup chef come on board for a drink, but like not even in the I prefer it as a living room, but
the salon.
It's a living room, but they are in like their quarters. The like it's mess. Very bizarre yeah. and not welcoming at all.
Yeah, I didn't understand. I was like, if you're having drinks, like do drinks like on the nice part of the boat. Don't
yeah.
like, also like, I mean, I guess it was nice that they, cause he was literally sitting in quarantine the whole time, the whole season. So like, I understood the thinking behind it, that it's like, it's, we're going to at least like meet you in person. Thank you for your service that you, you know, it was important to have a backup, but like, it was
Matt's attitude
was a little yeah Matt was so annoying. It's like the season is over, this guy isn't like threatening your job, like
he himself had nothing to do with you like as a person, and for him right, to not even acknowledge him and like get up and leave, he's such a fucking baby. I'm sorry, that guy pisses like, me off.
All of Matt's issues throughout the season trace back to Matt himself. Like there was never a situation where like somebody else was making his life difficult or right. like, so, I mean, like obviously the Lexi situation, like she was antagonizing him, whatever. But like, even in that situation, he was being just as, you know, combative toward her. So yeah. like, yeah, I don't know. I also thought like the way he was like coming for Captain Sandy, it's like, okay. dude, like you had a rough, like you objectively had kind of a rough season. It's not crazy that Sandy doesn't think you're like the most reliable person in the world, even though I don't think Captain Sandy is like the most amazing person either. It's like, she didn't do anything to you. She gave you chances.
And also the fact that he just like secured his position of never coming, working with on a show or with her again, because he was like, and Captain Sandy's the worst captain I've ever worked for my entire life of 15 years. And Sandy was like, okay. Like, first of all, she doesn't have time to deal with people like you. And also, that is just him, right, in a nutshell. Because they weren't fighting. She literally was asked a question about watching something she didn't see firsthand. So she saw it on the show and she's reacting to it. So for you to say she's the worst captain, she gave you three chances. In right, what way like, was she not like, a good captain?
He's like, I work year round and you're basing this all on like two bad nights that I had. And it's like,
no.
Okay. But like, even if that's true, it's like, yeah, you had two bad nights where you like, stormed off the boat, gave her an ultimatum. Like, you had two bad nights in a season that was 4 weeks long. Like, that's not actually like a great track record still. Like, there's only like seven charters in the season. So the fact that you like had like a major fuck up during two of them, it's like, yeah. Like, that's kind of a poor grade overall. I agree.
And it's nice when they all leave the boat when they show like the last day, and like Z asked her to be a reference, like ever you want to, you know, you don't want to burn any bridges, you want to just like keep it. Her and Malia have a really great relationship, like they really respect yeah. each other, which is very nice to see, by the way. Like
she I did was, like that she and Malia are
yeah
kind of put their issues to bed. I almost wish though that Malia was a little bit more firm with her when, because like when they were talking about the issue with David, like personally, I wanted Malia to be like, I didn't appreciate the fact that you yelled at me in the middle of the boat. Like, I think I wish Sandy was like called out a little bit more for that, because I think it was really unprofessional, but you know, whatever.
Malia was like, surprise, I'm not a lesbian. Captain Sandy's like, oh, that's funny. Cause remember, she called her out like on someone's weird. Cameo.
So weird. Ugh. does the next season of Below Deck start next week?
I believe so, but also Winterhouse starts tomorrow.
I know there's so much happening. There's so much going on. Now I want a Miami premiere date, cause I'm watching this fucking show, but I don't even know when it's going to be. I feel like I heard like December, but then also I've heard like May, 2022. And I'm like, can we get this under control? May, like, when is anything happening?
I know. I always think of like where we are right now. So right now it's October.
May is a long time from now.
Yes.
It's filmed. They finished filming. Like, come on. Alexia posted her confessional look that she was in yesterday. She looks great.
I mean, she looks amazing. Fucking gorgeous. She is beyond.
Yeah, no, I'm watching right now. Alexia, I'm watching right now when her son had the accident. It's really sad.
It's awful. But okay, really quick, I need to know your opinion on Joanna Krupa then.
So I just started season two and she's not in season one. So I don't really have an opinion yet because I've only seen like one episode with her. Oh, she's very beautiful. Beautiful.
She's a supermodel, but still. Well,
we'll see. I will make sure to give you updates. I've been like posting little like funny moments and stuff on the story, but thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I guess we'll have new Below Deck stuff to talk about next week. It never
ends. Out with the old, in with the new, huh? Like,
really? I know Captain Lee, Eddie, Rachel is going to be back. Fun times.
Oh, Lord. I don't know if I can handle Rachel. We're going from Matt to Rachel. Oh, God.
Oh, my God. No, I love Rachel. I really do. thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, follow the show wherever you listen. Follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.